Good morning. Wow, what a crazy week this has been. One like I've never known before, and I would think that most of us would say the same thing. You can feel the tension everywhere you go. Just walking outside at the store, people going crazy at Walmart for toilet paper, which I still don't understand, but good for you. But it feels like a, honestly, like something out of a sci-fi movie. Like everybody's so tense. And in our culture, we are just not used to this kind of tension. We're not used to this kind of, just scary kind of plague-like situations. And so it's new for us. And so what happens to us in the boiling water sometimes is a revelation of what's going on inside of our heart. And so for all of us, but this is an overwhelming time. And I just want to speak to that heart. It's scary. And it's really scary because it's out of our control. And so that's a big deal when you start to look at your kids and your health and people you love and your job and your plans start getting messed up. But I want to say this, if we allow ourselves to get caught up in the panic and the fear of it, we will lose sight of what God is really doing in the midst of this season. See, God's doing something and he's moving. And so this fear, we have to do something with it. And so the presence of fear is not sinful. Just having fear is just sitting there in your mind. It's not sinful, but it's the dwelling on fear that crosses over the line and starts to disable you and it starts to walk outside of the gamut of faithfulness. And so Max Lucado said this about anxiety. He said, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. Like we have a choice. And so that happens on days when we're worried about taking a test or our bills or something that's gargantuan, like what we're going through right now with this coronavirus. And so we really need to slow everything down, just see things through the lens of heaven. Like we need to, I'll just give you permission, slow down, take a deep breath. And so we know the Romans 12:2 is official verse of dealing with these things is don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect. This not being conformed to the world thing absolutely applies. Right now, the world is going crazy. It's going crazy. And so we have to renew our mind. We can't think like the rest of the world thinks because we are citizens of heaven. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And so we have to be careful and we have to slow down and we need to be transformed day by day, minute by minute. This is a daily process of how this journey works in our mind and dealing with fear, especially in times like this. See, the word of God is true in every situation. The things that we think we can kind of handle but need Jesus in, and his words are true in the catastrophic times. They are true. They're always true, and we need them, and we need to slow down and remember why we need them. There's this battle going on of facts versus truth, and some of you have heard me talk about that before, but the facts are coronavirus is out there. It's killing people. There's a good chance that a lot of us are going to get it. I don't think that's avoidable unless they come out with a deal, but the truth is that God is in control. Heaven is in control, and every one of our days is in his book, and he is with us. And so on days like this, we have to listen to the sweet truths of God's word and his promises and his anthems over his people. And we need to just slow down and let them sink into our hearts. Some like 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The spirit of God that is in you is not a spirit of fear. We have to like stop and let that soak in. Continuing on in the word, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Like the God of heaven just said, fear not, because I am with you. Like even in the midst of that room right now, or in your room last night, like the God of heaven was with you. Like his promises in the scripture are so clear, and we need to slow down and digest them. David said this in Psalms 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Man, we need to just saturate our hearts in that today. God is with us, and we're okay. We read scripture in this kind of overlays today in Romans 8:28, famous verse, and this is what I love about times of crisis. Times of crisis amplify verses that we usually just put on coffee cups. And so today when we think about Romans 8:28, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purposes, some of you are just saying might be called by his name, God uses everything, all things that we go through for our good, because we are called by his name. He uses everything. That's what's awesome about the kingdom of God, is we don't have to walk in this dredge of fear, because no matter what we go through, it doesn't promise we won't go through hard stuff. It doesn't promise we won't get diseases. It just says he will use all those things for our good as he's working through. And so if you look through the scriptures all throughout history, God's people have gone through enormous crisis. And so if you look, the story of Joseph, this poor dude is sold into slavery by his own brothers in Egypt. We look at Moses in the Red Sea. He's got the sea in front of him. He's got people coming to kill him behind him. Okay, we've got Daniel in the lion's den, thrown in the lion's den with live lions. Three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, in the fiery furnace to burn up and die. David running from Saul, huge crisis. He serves this guy. This guy gets jealous and the guy's throwing javelins at him. He's in an enormous, enormous crisis. Peter, when he's in prison, the apostle Paul gets thrown into the ocean in the middle of the night. The apostle John is stranded and exiled on the island of Patmos. And historically, even the church has gone through horrific crises where persecution has come and famine has come and disease has come. But if you look at all these accounts, there's something that's clear in there that we have to see, and it's this: God's response and his goodness to them in those seasons wasn't him automatically, if they were going through, he pulled them out and took them out of that situation and the story was over. That wasn't it. He was still good, but here's the deal. It wasn't about pulling people out of the crisis. It was how God pulled people through the crisis. Like God's goodness was in how he pulled them through. See, junk, hard, broken things happen since the fall of man. And it's not the God of heaven's fault that brokenness happens. We brought it on ourselves with sin. The beauty is, because of the grace and love of Jesus, he has given us freedom, and he walks with us and pulls us through, and heaven is our home. And so here's the deal. God does something special in the journey of crisis. Another beautiful part about looking at all these stories is, not only is he working something out through crisis, but they are bold and strong, obviously, because stories before these in particular incidents were they already learned how to trust God going through. David, we talk about David being amazing. He takes down Goliath and, you know, he battles the armies and he battles Saul and he's patient. But David learned the steadfastness of the Lord being a shepherd boy out in the wilderness where God protected him from bears and lions. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, God knew. David had already been through stuff, and he could count on God to move through stuff because what he had been through. And the same thing, Moses in the Red Sea, when God asked him to lift up his staff, why did he do that? Because he already knew that in his dealings with Pharaoh and his own brokenness, God came through and did his thing. We should say amen. God's goodness isn't just about making things go away. It just doesn't work that way. God's goodness is in how he delivers us and pulls us through. And I believe that absolutely points to the situation we're in now. We can't avoid this thing, but we can make it through this thing, no matter the outcome, with God for our good in his glory. And so the presence of this virus doesn't mean that God isn't good, but it's pointing to, this whole situation is pointing to the overwhelming goodness of God Almighty, who will pull us through. He is here. He's with us. He's in the midst. And man, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And so we need to walk in faith and not fear so we can do this. There are things in the midst of this season that we can miss. And I believe there's some amazing opportunities, and it sounds weird. You know, why are you talking about opportunities in this plague of our age? And here's the deal. God, we are the people of heaven. We don't think like the world. We don't see crisis like the world does. We see it through the lens of heaven. And God is working all things out for the good of us who love him. He is working in this. I believe that this season of this virus could honestly be an open doorway to revival that we haven't seen before. But I think God is calling us to pause and to look and see the opportunity in the crisis. And so I just wrote down a few of these. Number one, I just think that this is an amazing opportunity to draw near to him. We know that James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's just mind-blowing to begin with. But there is something broken in the flesh of man that keeps switching into self-reliance mode, self-sustaining. I've got this. I can do it. Here's the beautiful thing about crisis. Crisis can and should, honestly, y'all, make us run back to the arms of the Father. Because he's good. I mean, Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, okay? Psalms 50:15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. I think about this. I remember my little ones and even my little girl I have now, you know, she's pretty shy sometimes and like my other ones were when they're little, but you know, she ventures out to try something new or, you know, playing with a certain toy or with another kid, but if there's a loud noise, there's a bang, there's something goes on, somebody messes with her, she comes running back to me and grabs onto me. And we just have this moment. See, I'm the safe place for her. And so in the middle of this, what we can start to see is this is actually an opportunity. If we're battling with fear, we're battling with uncertainty, this is your opportunity to run back into the arms of our Father who loves us. It's intimacy. How do we do that? Just the way we pray. Just praying in a season like this does something in the heart of man. Philippians 4:6-7, again, quintessential verses that explode with power in these situations. By the way, they're always powerful, but they just seem to resonate. Don't be anxious about anything. Anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is an amazing way. Your prayer life should amp up and stay amped up through this journey if you've been lacking in your prayer. The God of heaven wants to talk to us. The God of heaven wants to hear our voice in the midst of every day of our lives. But in this crisis, he is near to the brokenhearted. His Word, reading God's Word. You want to know a great way to know if we survive this thing or if God is good? The Word, God's spoken Word to us that we have in our Scriptures. And as we dive into the Word, we see the goodness of God. It gives us rest and peace. We see His power and His mercy. It gives us grace and rest. We see His love for us in His Word, and it gives us power to make it another day. Worship is a big one for me. And I walked in this morning just full of angst and thinking about everything we're dealing with and having my own issues and stuff at home, all that. And I was just overwhelmed by the tension of everything going on. And I just sat down and I forced myself to click play on my computer, and worship came on. And I just started worshiping. And as I worshiped, man, chains came off. It's funny how that works when we exalt the God of heaven for who He is and what He's worth, that something takes our mind off of the earth. These things grow strangely dim. I would encourage you to worship in this season and in every season. Here's another opportunity. It's an opportunity to be reminded of who is really in control. We are not in control of any of this. That is what some of the overwhelming fear is. You can't control this. We can't keep everybody safe. We can't do a lot of things. It's all Him and only Him. That, my brothers and sisters, is actually an amazing perspective. And a season like this, where it's so out of control, can actually be an enormous opportunity and blessing for us to remind ourselves that God is in control. Daniel 4:35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say to this hand, say to Him, what have you done? Like he's over all this stuff. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You can make all the plans you want. You could say this and that and the other, but it is God's plan and what's in His mind that will work. Job said this. Job goes through this enormous, enormous season of crisis, which, by the way, you're going to have to do some of the theology that God allows him to go through that. And so as God pulls Job through to show His goodness, at the end, Job 42:2 says, listen, I know that you can do all things. This is Job talking to the Lord, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Yeah, we're not even in control of what happens tomorrow. We know in James 4:13-16, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Listen, we are not in control. We are fragile. I don't care how tough you are, what you can bench, how fast you can run, how you can program, all these things. It doesn't matter. We are fragile. But here's the thing. This is an opportunity. When we realize how fragile we are, we can see how powerful the God of heaven really is. Scripture says His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We desperately need Him. One of my favorite things to talk about, first beatitude in Matthew 5:3, says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That just translates spiritually bankrupt. Can't do it on your own. And a lot of people think that that's just like a one-time salvific verse, but I don't think that's true. I just personally think that us realizing that I'm poor in spirit, not being unaware that I am the righteousness of God, that I'm a son of God, but I need to realize I am poor in spirit without Him. I desperately need Him. Lo and behold, a crisis like this where you're not in control, you don't have a say in what necessarily happens today or tomorrow. It's all Him. It could be a blessing because it'll make you crawl right back to the God of heaven who has the power. Here's another one. This is an opportunity for thankfulness. And that doesn't sound, again, normal, but we live in the upside down kingdom of God. We see things differently. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So here's the deal. Our worry, unfortunately, we know this in Matthew 6, our worry doesn't change a thing. Like, it doesn't change a thing, but our thankfulness, by the way, thankfulness is something that's on purpose, that we do on purpose. We think about the things that are good. We give God praise. We see Him in the little things and give Him thanks. Worry doesn't change anything, but a heart that gives thanks in all circumstances reminds itself that God is good and He alone is in control. See, nothing's out of control for the Lord today. He is good and He always has been and He always will be. He is watching over you and providing you like He always has. He is the same one that created all good things and you. Praise Him because He's worthy to be praised, and praise Him to remind your own heart of how good He is. Some of us just need to go back to the basics and make a praise list in the middle of the anxiety of this thing, because He's so good. And the other angle of this is seeing what you love in a non-secure, so not just yourself, but seeing what you love in a non-secure and helpless lens because of a crisis should also remind us to thank God. I think about my oldest daughter. When she was a little girl, she all out of nowhere got these lumps that came up in her neck, in her lymph nodes. And so I thought she just had some random cold or something. I took her to the doctor. This doctor I had, he starts kind of flipping out a little bit. And he's like, "Well, I don't know what that is. And we need to get that checked." And so automatically I go into anxiety-ridden dad mode. I'm like, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" "Well, it's not this or that or this." And he's like, "Well, I can't say. It looks odd. We need to really, here, try these medications for a week and then come back and then we'll see." And so this whole week, I'm freaking out. And I just look at my daughter sometimes and I weep. I'm like, "Oh my goodness, he thinks she has cancer. And what am I doing? God, please save my little girl." And I just saw her through this lens of, you know, in all of our minds, I just go to the worst case scenario. Like, what if I lose my daughter? And I just held her and I weeped and I cried. It was kind of embarrassing, actually. But in the end, after some tests and some time and even longer of him not knowing what was going on, and him saying things like, "It doesn't look good." In the end, it came out to be nothing. I believe that God healed it. And here's the deal. Almost having the thought, honestly, of losing her made me think about how precious she was to me even more. And I just gave God thanks, even when she was okay. Like, see your kids through this journey of crisis. Like, see your job, see your home. God has blessed us with all these good things, and you should thank Him. And a crisis should remind us that we all need to thank Him. We're not guaranteed that what you have will be there tomorrow, so we got to give Him thanks today. Here's another opportunity. This is an opportunity to trust that God is doing something in us through these trials and suffering. Like, God is actually doing something through the suffering. And a lot of us know about suffering. We've been through suffering, but this is just another opportunity that we have to, this is an opportunity for us to see God is working through this season for as His church, for a country, and for you individually. We know the text, like James 1, 2 through 4, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Again, when you're worried about a job, when you're worried about your kids, you know, those are kind of those things are, God's word is true in those situations without question. But guess what? That is true today in world epidemics and pandemics and people passing away and violent diseases and countries raging. Guess what? James is still true. Count it all as joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet various trials of kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith, listen, it's so crucial to get. It produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Romans 5, 3 through 5, "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." See, we can have joy in the middle of the suffering because it is doing. It's like the scripture talked about the refining fire. It's refining us. You are actually, if you walk with him in this thing, you are becoming stronger. Some of the greatest lessons and truths of the scriptures and God and the Holy Spirit have come in my life through the worst things that I've ever been through. God taught me the most. And I'm getting to a point in my walk where I want to see them while they're happening and not always in a hindsight. And so we need to stop in the middle of this craziness and say, all right, God, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time, but I want to see and I want to be a part of and I want to partner with what you're doing. There are things that happen to us spiritually in seasons like this that don't happen any other time. And that makes it a blessing. As hard as it is to see. A couple more of these, I just thinking about all these opportunities. Here's another opportunity. This is an opportunity to be reminded that this place isn't our home. Something happens to us in our comfort in the West, and I'm so guilty of this, but man, something happens where we start to buy into the lie that this is our home. And we're comfortable, we like our cars, like our jobs, our money, our church buildings, and all those, nothing is wrong intrinsically with those things. But in the end, once we settle and forget, like what Peter calls us sojourners, people that are just passing through, we start to lose something. 1 John 2:15 through 17, again, another verse in line with this. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and the pride of possession, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Listen, none of us will say, yeah, we're falling in love with the world. But in the end, our actions will speak louder than our words. And we are literally, love is an action. So we're pouring out of our time, our energy, and our money. And listen, this is the deal. Like a crisis. If you look at the brokenness and the fear and the animosity that's going on right now, man, it should make you remember something. This is not our home. We have the opportunity right now to remember that our place is with Jesus in the kingdom of heaven. Someday a new earth with new names, new bodies. And we can actually use this, you know, Revelation 21:4, talking about that day when the Lord comes back, he will wipe every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. There'll be no more coronavirus. There'll be no more freaking out about what's going to happen to my babies. It will be done. And here's the last one. I think this is a unparalleled opportunity to show the light of Jesus, to let the light of Jesus shine. You remember after 9/11, where churches were just like packed to the brim. People were rushing to every church they could. I just was a fairly new believer in that season. And I was dumbfounded by all the people that were coming. And the thing is, when calamity comes in, people who are lost or in the middle, lukewarm, whatever you want to call it, they go looking for what's missing in their hearts. And by the way, everybody is wired, believe it or not, for the kingdom, for Jesus, for God. That's what we're searching for. And so this opportunity is almost like to that level. Like, listen, people are just losing it. And people, what happens when people lose it is this, they are trying to cling for something. They are being poor in spirit in a way where they don't know. They can't do it. They can't handle it. They can't control things. And so they need an avenue. They need somewhere. They need to see the light of Jesus that they're searching for, whether they know it or not. That means this is a remarkable opportunity in this season for us to be the bringers of the good news, people who share Jesus, who represent with our lives and why we're not stumbling in fear. People can see that in us. And so at home, to show our kids, we're showing the light of Jesus in the middle of this hard times. In our churches, in our jobs, the guy sitting next to you or the guy that shares your office or sales someone that's just part of your team. Like, listen, they are looking at you through this season, and this is an opportunity. And when they say, why aren't you freaking out? It's a great opportunity to say, hey, you know what? This is scary, but the love of Jesus and the power of the kingdom of heaven overpowers all of this stuff. That is such a powerful witness. We look at these opportunities and we go there. And so in our cities, in the nations, this is it. Listen, Luke 4, verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Listen, these are the words of Jesus, but they are the words and the empowerment for us. Listen, people out there right now, because of this epidemic, because of this thing, man, they're poor. They're like not necessarily always financial thing, like spiritually, they're having a hard time. We're called to proclaim liberty to the captives. They are captives to their fears and to their notions of what safety is supposed to be. And we bring recovery of sight. Like, this is us. This is our time. This should be our greatest season. This could be the piece that launches revival that we have been longing for such a long, long time. Here's what happens in crisis always. The church runs in. We don't run out. That has never been the MO of the church, and it's not supposed to be. God's people who are full of him and the Spirit and life, we run to the darkest places because in the darkest places is where the light shines the most. Let me say, over the years, over the last 2,000 years, just the church stirred by God's word and by the Holy Spirit and running in obedience, that's where things blossomed into, like hospitals, orphanages, homes for the elderly, care for the poor, for the hungry, for the homeless. That came from the church running in, okay? And so when there's hurricanes, when there's typhoons, earthquakes, the church runs in. When there are people being sex trafficked and human trafficked, the church runs in. We go. Missionaries run to the farthest places of the earth, sometimes with the expectation of their lives in risk and being taken, and they go, they run in because those people desperately need it. We must run in, family. This is our season. If we're stuck at home hiding from the things that are in this virus or what's going on with people or in the world or whatever's going on, we miss a unique opportunity to see the gospel explode in our city and in the nations. And so we must run in. And honestly, people are physically perishing into an eternal perishing right before our eyes, and they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This could be our finest hour, and this is a sweet opportunity to shine the light of Jesus into the dark places. So as we walk through and finish this, here's my question. Could it be possible that God is using this season that we're going through for enormous breakthrough and revival? Personally, in our homes, in our city, in our country, in the nations of the earth, this is how God works. This is what he brings from the darkest places, freedom and power and life. This is our final hour, our finest hour, excuse me. Maybe God's doing something amazing, and he is. This isn't the first crisis man has ever been in. It's not our last crisis we'll ever be in. And I will say this, if you're not a follower of Jesus today and you're listening to this, and you're longing and searching for that peace, like this is just too much for you, I want to tell you it is too much for you. But I will tell you more importantly is that the God of heaven who created you, who sent his son to die for you, his blood has covered this entire crisis, and those who make him Lord of their lives, they walk in freedom and peace, knowing that this isn't it, and that He is with us. And we're powerful in seasons like these. And it's time to surrender your life for Jesus. If you're a follower of the Lord and you've just been overwhelmed by this, it's time just to run back into the arms of the Father. It's time to, worship Him, dive into His Word, get some accountability for the stuff you're going through, have somebody walk the journey with you. But it is our time to rise and not cower. So I know it's scary, but God is better. God is good. God is bigger. We don't walk in fear. He has us. There are tremendous opportunities of how God is working this thing out, and we need to slow down and see them and breathe in the peace and promises of God. And there are tremendous blessings in the middle of the storm. As we close this morning, I just want to pray over you and bless you. And I ask that you guys would just spend some time in your house churches or even at home with your family, praying with each other. And so this is just a great time just to go and intercede on behalf of our city and the nations and everything going on, the health of just beautiful people all over the place struggling with their health. And just He would bless our paths in the days to come. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just do pray. Man, this is just so overwhelming, God, but You're so good. Lord, would You remind us, Jesus, of just how powerful You are and that we're not alone. You've never left us nor forsaken us. You're with us, God. And so, Lord, I just pray that You would come in every one of these houses in our hearts. And Lord Jesus, we would see the tremendous opportunities that You're putting for us personally to grow and to be challenged in our fear. Lord Jesus, also to be able to be people who are used for Your glory. Father God, to see people come to You. And Lord, may this be Your church's finest hour in this time, in this generation. Lord, I pray for peace that passes understanding. I pray for just healing of deep things inside of people that this is exposing. But Lord, I pray that Your will be done, that Your, God, Your power would come in us. And Lord Jesus, we would rise in this season. Thank You, God, for using the most broken things in this world to bring beauty from ashes. Lord, we love You. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.